You're listening to Geek World and 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero super hosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. For those of you who don't know yet, this is now a three-hour show. So for the next 3 hours, well, today, we're going to be talking all about E3 and,
yeah.
And some video games and the new systems and all sorts of fun like that. And even better, you
all
can
sorts
actually
of fun like that. Like that.
You can go onto our website, geekworldradio.com, and we have our photos up from E3. I mean, like, that's pretty good for us. I mean, it's taken us weeks to get some of these other photos up.
I gotta say, we shot a lot of photos, not to toot our own horn, but, you know, we're not exactly professional photographers, but we took a lot. So if you didn't get to go to E3, which a lot of people didn't get to go, it'll give you a pretty good idea of most of the really cool things there.
We got pictures of the booth babes. We've
yes.
got pictures of the displays. We've got some gameplay photos. And,
yes.
And we're going to work on getting some video up, too. So.
Exactly, yes. We have all kinds of cool stuff from the obscure and crazy to the very, very, very cool and anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Oh, man. What a great week.
Yeah.
E3 week is such a great week.
Yeah.
I think most people know what E3 is, the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things that a few years ago it was like Comic-Con, you know, it was so huge, and because everyone, you know, people could get in, and it was
kind of a general event for fans and people in the industry. The thing is that it originally started as an industry event, an event for video game buyers and various companies to show off their stuff for the media, show off their stuff for other video game companies,
yeah.
show their stuff for the stores like the GameStops and the, you know.
Sure, yeah. Like back in the 80s, like
yeah,
when
yeah.
they had, like, you know,
and back,
NES.
Back when there were arcades and
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is and for, like, game companies to show off their various games to the systems.
Yes.
But then a while back, it became kind of more of a fan-based thing, too, and it kind of got really full, and all the people that kind of needed to be there as buyers and media weren't able to really get in and get to what they needed to, because there were all these, you know, all these kids gaming.
Right.
Now it's, you know, it's totally for people 18 and above. It's for people in the industry and people in the industry who bring their friends.
Yes, exactly. and media. And so it's more of a closed event this time, though it was very full this year. I got to go only for a few hours last year, and it wasn't as full when I was there. That's not saying that it wasn't more full later, but it was definitely, there were quite a few people there this year.
Well, this year was really there to debut some huge things. Last year was, besides the fact that just in general with the poor economy, every single expo that was going on was very limited in what they were showing. But
yeah.
also there wasn't anything really big to bring out. You know, the year before had been bringing out like the PS3 and stuff like that.
The biggest thing that year was the unveiling of the Project Natal at the time, what it
right.
was called, at their big panel.
The very unfinished and not to be released for at least
yes.
another year from then, which is very true, you know, another
yeah.
year and a few months.
All I can remember from the Natal at the time, the Project Natal was, which is now, of course, is called the Kinect, was that, remember they had that odd, like, little British boy? It was sort of like Hail 9000. And you
I wasn't
could walk
with
up.
You.
No, well, no, did you ever see any videos of it, though? Like, when
not
you would
really,
talk,
no.
Oh, man. They would have, like, this little AI, like, boy named Nigel, I think it was, or something weird that you would talk to, and you'd be like, and you'd hold up a piece of paper, and the camera would take a picture of it, and then Nigel would take the piece of paper and be like, oh, that's a nice drawing. And
that's
it was really,
creepy.
Really super creepy. That's all I could think of for the, you know, for the Natal. Luckily, he did not show up in any of the Kinect games that we played.
Yeah, but he
which
might
I'm
be
very
there.
Happy. He could be there watching us the entire time. There was something sort of evil, scary child
I
going
remember,
on there.
I remember last year you coming back from E3 and you were so impressed by the Natal, by just the prospect of it, that
yeah.
you were so excited to see what would come. Speaking of the Natal, that is actually what we're going to be going into first. The Natal, as it was originally called, or as it was called while in the progress of being made,
yes.
Now called the Xbox Kinect.
Yes.
So if you hear people talking about the Kinect or the new Xbox thing where you move and it has no controllers, it's called the Xbox Kinect.
Yeah.
And
it's like, you know, Prince, and then there was, like, formerly known as Prince and all that stuff. It's like that.
Something like
it's
that,
like
yeah.
Natal, you know, formerly known as Natal, now the Kinect. Yes, you know, this was the thing that I think that we not only were most anticipating along
mm-hmm.
with the Nintendo 3DS, but also the thing that we made sure to get to. And boy,
yes.
did we have a good time.
So we're going to get to the Nintendo 3DS and some some of the 3D games, some games like Killzone and
Killzone 3,
yeah, and
Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Yeah, I got to play the new Castlevania.
Yeah, we're gonna get to all that stuff later. We're actually gonna start off with the Kinect because I think it's the thing that we came out of it most excited about, and the thing that everything else from this point on is kind of going to be compared to in our minds.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting to get our hands on this thing for a while. It's almost like it's too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's, no more controllers. You just put this little thing on top of your TV and it can read your motion in real time.
Well,
and it's just, you know, it's unbelievable.
It's... Whereas something like the new PlayStation Move or the Wii has a remote that it's connecting with, that the device is connecting with, this actually has a sensor that tracks 48 points of movement on the human body.
Is that amazing?
You know, it's like I try and imagine what points there are. Like, how can it, like, what 48 points is it capturing? You know, it's like I can get like the regular joints. You know, it gets like around your neck, the top of your head. You know, like the wrists and ankles, knees.
Yeah.
Knees and elbows. You know, and waist. But like that's what, like 10.
Well, you know,
and then I can think of like 10 others to kind of correspond with that. But like,
it's all the points of your joints and stuff. But then it's like all the different ways you'd move them.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And they have this all this stuff already put into the computer, and I gotta say, because they have it set up that way, I was like almost creeped out by how receptive it was to what I was doing. You know, at first when we were standing in front of the Kinect, originally we just played this game called Game Party in Motion that was a smaller game.
Luckily
they didn't just have like the one big Kinect booth, they had a bunch of little Kinects everywhere.
Yeah, there was Kinects everywhere, but there was also the third party software, which this Game Party in Motion was actually a third party software that had a little station set up. Now, what this game is, it's kind of like those games that you play on the PC that use your mouse to do. You know, you send the beer down to the people who are grabbing it. And you know, I've definitely played these games on the PC, but adding that element of the Kinect, it just makes them so much more fun.
I agree. You know, it's sort of like what you'd play, like any of the Wii games that have like the Miis,
mm-hmm.
or like a Mario mascot. It was they're very simple games. You know, like that game Leisure Suit Larry that we played very, very long ago. All the mini games, like beer pong, and they were fun. But the great thing about them is we started off simple, so we were really able to gauge just some of the more simple things about the Kinect. I have to say, the first thing that we did when we stood there, well, actually, the first thing we did was try to start the game, which was impossible because the computer is more advanced than anime.
Well, the thing is that when you're first starting these things, someone needs to actually fully explain to you exactly what you're trying to do. And I was just told to put my hand and like hold it in a certain position. The thing is, I didn't realize that there was this little check mark on the side that was kind of filling up with green.
Yeah.
You know that it was done. So I'm just like, I'm trying to do the motion, but I'm not noticing what exactly it is I'm doing. So then I would move my hand way too fast.
It was almost like mocking you. It was almost like, it's like you can't just put your head
better
down.
Than you.
You can't just put your hand down. You have to put your hand down and just keep it there. I think that it's sort of like a resistance training. You know, they're trying to build the better person, more human than human. I think that was the hardest part. It was just trying to start and keeping your hand up there. Luckily, after you keeping your hand there for a second and it filling up, and then you taking your hand away and us still not starting, I just grabbed your hand and held it there until it started. So teamwork is really what gets these things started. But what I wanted to say is once we actually got in there and we saw our avatars, what was really, really interesting was the fact that it is like receptive, like almost down to the nanosecond. Like I was lifting my right leg up, and my avatar's right leg lifted up. Kind of like ran in place a little bit. And then I even got to the point where I tried the bullet time, the Matrix
like
bend your lower back until it breaks type thing. And it was picking that up too. I mean, it was picking up practically everything I was doing. And just from the beginning, that was sort of like whoa, like this is not just one of those chicanery type things. This is real, man. This is the real world.
And the best part is that, we were playing together, so it wasn't just getting your motions.
Yeah.
It was getting both of our motions. One of the great things about the Kinect that I found was that it got you into that spirit of, like, jumping around with your friends again.
Totally.
You know, like the way that you used to play as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of, like, unlike a Dance Dance Revolution, where you're on your dance pad, mm-hmm. and you just stay right there, and unlike Wii, where you're pretty much just swinging a remote
remote because you don't need to move your feet.
Yeah, clocking people.
Yeah, breaking TVs. unlike that stuff, you know, you kind of bump into each other a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's part of the fun of it. That's
part of
it. It's like, I bump into you and because you're there.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's two people in a room playing together. Now, speaking of two people in a room playing together, all the games
This is not what this show is about.
Yes.
Two people in a room playing together.
Well, it kind of is. I mean,
fine. Ooh, baby.
So it is kind of two people in a room playing together.
Good point.
So the games that were there were only one or two player. But supposedly it does have enough processing power. This was just kind of like the demo system.
Mm-hmm.
It should have enough processing power to support any number of users.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At the same time, or you mean online?
It's supposed to be able to at the same time, but that's kind of like what the company that makes the hardware for the Kinect is saying. They said that like it was the demo software that they had been showing off at E3, and it could only support the two users. But I mean, the games, everything was still kind of in its almost ready phase.
Yeah,
almost ready because in November is when it's actually coming out.
It's crazy.
I actually have to say I'm actually surprised that I thought it was going to cost a little more than it looks like it's going.
Yeah, I'm totally flabbergasted. I mean, do you just want to say how much it costs? Or do you want to say some of the more cool things about? Okay.
Yeah, let's just get into right now how it costs.
Let's do it.
So the actual sensor that tracks your body motion, that's going to cost $150.
That's way cheaper than I thought it
would
be.
Now, I could be wrong, but you might also need to buy some sort of adapter or some sort of power cord or something for it if you don't have the new new Kinect Ready Xbox.
Yes.
They're still kind of coming out with exactly, you know, what's going to be needed and stuff, but the new Kinect Ready Xbox is $300. So, you know, if you're going to get yourself an Xbox and a Kinect, you know, you're already up to almost $500.
I was so excited. You know, I read this article the other day about how they got rid of the Red Ring of Death on the Xbox 360, and I was like, oh, finally, they fixed that problem. And by fix that problem, I mean what it means is now when the Xbox has, you know, issues, it'll no longer, you know, be a red circle. It'll find another way to tell you that it has issues and that it's dead. So, you know, they solved the problem.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh?
They solved the problem.
Yeah.
By not
red ring.
Telling you that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now maybe it'll be like, I don't know, like the pink ring of death.
Yeah,
think
maybe.
About that. You never know. Yeah, I got to say, that's a lot cheaper than I thought it would be. You know, I mean, granted, it's not a whole new system, but considering what it can do, it's
a whole new way of gaming.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's crazy. I really like my main thing coming to this E3 is like, we have to play the Kinect. We have to get on here because people have been talking about Natal for years year now. I mean, like we said, last year they showed it at their panel, and you know, it almost seemed too good to be true.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about real quick, like the first game we played, the Whack-A-Mole game. I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
That was the first
one
we played.
Goblin.
For a game party motion. It was just like regular whack-a-mole at the arcade, except you can use both your hands and your feet.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, as I recall, did you see your avatars in that one, or was it just the little feet and the little hands?
Just the little feet and hands, because the whole thing had little goblins on it. So if you had your little avatar on it, well, you would have covered up part of the screen.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked. So they had our little invisible green hands and feet, and they, you know, went right along with what we were doing. And, you know, I spent most of the time just, you know, acting like a, I don't know, some sort of lineman for a football team or something. I was just doing a lot of, like, stamping my feet and my arms, but it didn't matter. Like, right from the jump, it was so much fun, and, like, it was just, like, it was crazy.
Well, again, I actually enjoyed bumping into you. You know,
yes.
I enjoyed when we would bump into each other because it was funny. Like, you know, you're playing these silly games, and you know, you're competing, but it's very silly competition.
Yeah.
So when you bump into each other, it makes you laugh. You know, I can just imagine, like, a bunch of people around the house in socks and, like, you know, in their pajamas or whatever, like, you know.
I totally agree.
Just hanging out and jumping into each other, and I can also see, you know, adults getting drunk and doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. You know, I think one of the main things that you had said about the Kinect that I really, really appreciate and totally agree with, and sorry if I'm stealing your thunder
here,
but
you're crediting me, and that's the important
yes,
thing.
Yes, Yes.
Would you like me to say
it? And now I'd like to say this is completely my idea. No, no, go ahead, say it if you know what I'm saying.
I think you're going to say how I was comparing it to kind of an old school pillow fight in a way.
No, actually, I wasn't going to say it at all. Though that is a good point. We can talk about that. What I was going to say is that I like the fact that you were saying that while we were playing the Kinect, that one of the best parts about it was sort of the freedom of not worrying about throwing a remote into the TV.
That's a huge deal with the Wii. I mean, they provided the straps, although I think the initial set of straps they provided people were somehow breaking and things are still flying at the TV.
Yeah.
But I mean, first off, if you have kids in general, first off, kids, you know, they never like to belt themselves into anything.
Of course not. Yeah.
And
I hardly like to do that.
And second off, people just forget. You forget to put the strap on. If you were using like one of your light guns, you know, and you had to take it out, then you don't remember to put the strap back on.
Yeah.
People lose the straps.
Video games.
And they just don't think they're going to drop it.
Video games were a relatively, you know, safe thing, you know, for a few years, you know. There were a few of the, you know, the power pads here and there.
Well,
but
yeah,
overall,
the problem with taking away from the sedentary nature of a video game is that you risk your TV.
Exactly. It becomes extreme sports. But, and I think that, you know, I think you're 100% right. And I think that you don't really feel, you know, it's funny because you play the Wii and it's very controlled, but the Wii opened up the door for this kind of like playability. But I like the fact that, you know, the new level has been reached where, you know, you don't have to worry about that controller anymore. You don't have to worry about, you know, if the sensor's picking it up or
and
if you're going to throw it.
And
or
there
if,
it is. It's the sensor. The sensor isn't picking up a device.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wear some sort of VR suit.
Exactly.
The sensor on the Kinect picks up you.
Yep.
It picks you up. You know, it's crazy. And then it takes pictures of you at the end.
That was the other, like, super cool thing that all the games had. I mean, like any great roller coaster, you know, when you're done, they have all the little, like, you know, choice still shots. And it's just fantastic. It's funny because some of the games, I don't know how it picks the shots. It just picks, like, I think, you know, the random times when you're doing funny movement. But
some of the games have, like, a specific point.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Certain games have a little camera icon that shows up when you know, like some of the adventure games, when you know you're going to take the picture. But other times, I think they're just a little more random. But I think, you know, that's really cool. And also, you know, I believe the whole point is so you can send them to people online, put them on your Facebook.
They have a little thing set up within some of these games that if you're playing online that you can, like, automatically upload it to Facebook or
That was one of the big things I noticed from a lot of the games this year is a lot of the games were, like, all about, you know, photographing you during gameplay so that you can go and, you know, and put them on Facebook. Facebook was like sort of the word I heard a lot.
Yeah, which is kind of funny because, you know, we hear that word a lot just as Facebook is kind of starting to take its tumble.
Exactly.
You know, it would be like last year them talking about MySpace.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But the point is online.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing.
And YouTube too, I think. or at least for, no, maybe not for the Kinect. Because it just takes pictures.
No, I think some of it takes
video.
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, you know, that's online is a big thing now. You know, just in general, it's a big thing, and which makes the whole fact that the PC gaming section is so tiny even more ironic.
Yes, yeah, I would have to say that was one of the funnier things about E3. I'm glad you brought that up. Is, you know, E3, you know, it makes sense. You know, it started off, you know, all computer games, and things have sort of moved into consoles as time goes on. But what's really funny now is this E3. It was almost like the computer game section was sort of like, you know, you remember video stores?
Uh-huh.
I think they still exist throughout America in some places. You know, a lot of video stores, they have all the videos, and then, like, in the back corner, they have the porn section.
Behind the curtain.
And no one under 18 or whatever goes in. That's almost what it felt like.
Yeah.
Like the computer area. It was like, it was just sort of this little place off in the corner that people were like, oh, yeah. Like, people realized it was there, but everyone was kind of a little scared to go over there. And, it was, it's really interesting how these things have happened. But it's us at the same time, it's not surprising. You know, I know there's always going to be a lot of diehard people who play games on computers. I was never that way. I was always the guy who, like, I can't handle the keyboard and the mouse.
You even had a little gaming remote for your PC.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's funny because I in college, I went to PC just for 1 year so I could play all the video games because, you know, at that point, the graphics weren't up to snuff yet.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out, and I went back to Macs, and it finally reached that point I'd always hoped,
yeah,
where the console games are. are in many ways have better graphics.
Yeah.
But also,
well,
just
because they are they're PC,
they are computers themselves now.
Yeah.
Yes. And also just, you know, the controller. It's always about the controller.
Well, you know what I'm finding with games right now is that I've always been more of like a Tetris and puzzling person because, you know, I always had a lot of trouble with the games. Because they had such a pause in the reaction time, uh-huh. I had a lot of trouble kind of, you know.
Is it just because you're a girl anime? Is that what it is?
No, this is actually like specifically for problems that you know I have with that kind of thing, with now, like tracking and stuff like that.
Were we noticing? I think I noticed quite a few girls there, sort of on their own accord, like they're just to, you know, play games for themselves.
Well, you know what a lot of people don't really realize is how large the female gaming market has become.
Yeah.
The thing is that it's, you know, very much still for a large portion of these girls in the Wii.
Uh-huh.
You know, because that's where all the cute stuff is. That's where all just the easy, fun stuff is. And that's where they're not going to have to deal with, you know, with their guy friends going, yeah, you got pwned.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
There's a little too much of
you
that.
Suck!
Yeah. It's like, you know, a little tip to all you guys out there. You know, if you're playing with a girl, like, I'm not saying don't play your hardest, but once you finish, don't tell her that she got pwned.
Yeah.
Don't tell her she sucked.
You know the whole adage of like the bad boy gets the girl, or sometimes you have to be a jerk. It doesn't work.
It doesn't apply
exactly in every plane. Yeah, it does not apply when it comes to video games.
Yeah, if you ever want her to play with you again, just be nice about it. Be like, oh, you did a great job. You know, you're getting so much better. You know, you can totally pwn her, but like just don't let her know that it happened.
Yeah,
you know?
That would probably be best not to do that. I'd have to agree with you.
There's a lot of females just in the market in general, but now there's also a lot of females who have the place of buyers.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are the buyers. And the other thing is that a lot of the females, like, they're the moms that are also going to get the games for their kids.
Yeah.
You know, dad goes and gets games for himself.
Yes.
Mom is more likely to go get games for the kids or games for her that the kids are also going to be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another portion of your female, you know, female market that was at E3. And you know, there's also now just online gaming in general, things like World of Warcraft and things like that have really attracted a lot of females into them.
It's true.
When you're playing with the fairy princess, she might actually look like a fairy princess.
It's distinctly possible now.
There is more of a chance now that your svelte, beautiful, beautiful fairy chick is actually a svelte chick, not a gigantic, humongous old guy.
You know, it's funny, we were talking about the movie Surrogates earlier, and it's funny about the movie Surrogates is in a way that's much more applicable to online playing than that movie Gamer that we saw at the same time. And it's true, you know, that was sort of like the old idea of, you know, the hot chick must be like an old fat guy, you know, a old greasy fat guy.
Well, I mean, it's been that way for a long time. It's really, girls have just recently really become a humongous portion of the gaming market. I mean, it's practically 60-40 now.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I wouldn't go that nuts, but I agree with you. It's definitely much bigger.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's practically 60-40 in certain gaming markets. In certain age groups, because like what they're finding is that, you know.
Oh, you know what? iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But they're finding that you know, the market for females ages 18 and above is now actually a larger market than like male 17 and below.
Yeah.
You know, male 17 and below used to be the entire market, you know, and now the females of 18 and over they've surpassed that market. Now, granted, it's a humongous group of people, you know, 18 and up, but still, it's, you know, whereas the market used to just be for those young boys.
There you go. Good times. Let's talk about the other game we played for Kinect, or the other part of the game, Party in Motion. We had two other games. We had a game where we were tossing, a beer across, like, a bar.
Yeah, you were sliding the beer down, and then you'd, like, you know, you'd jump over to the next beer thing and chat to the next guy. And really, it was a good one to just kind of get us started, get a feeling for this, for the Kinect and for the motion of it. And I gotta say, it was so much more reactive to my motions than I expected. Like, I would take a large step, and it would take a large step. I'd go across two different bars, you know? It's like, and, you know, you don't need to take nearly as large steps as you think you need to. You don't need to move nearly as much, because it actually senses pretty much every tiny motion.
Yeah, you know, that one I was also having difficulty with because, you know, each character was in between three different bars, mm-hmm. like sliding these, you know, beers to patrons. And I was almost having a little trouble just because I was stepping over a little too much and going all the way to the one on the left.
Yeah.
But I, at the same time, while you're playing the Kinect, it doesn't feel like, man, this thing is dumb. It's not working right. You feel like, man, I'm dumb.
Yeah,
this,
I'm not
this
working
machine
right,
is actually doing something correctly. Like,
yeah,
it's a very humbling experience. Yeah, it's very humbling experience. This is the first time I've really felt, well, not the first time, one of the few times I felt like the machine was much more advanced and much more on its game than I was.
The robots are taking
yeah,
over, Dave.
Exactly, you know, Skynet.
Oh, God, it is the software.
It's Skynet, exactly. It's all, you know, Kinect is Skynet. So, you know, that one, though, is very old school type of game, but it was still fun.
Yeah, and very, very simple type of game.
Yeah, and I would say the other one that we played was kind of a throw the football at a target.
Throw the football and avoid getting tackled.
Yeah, that one. That one was the least best, and the guy even let us know. It was a little difficult,
to
say the least.
That's the problem. That you had to actually understand. You had to get your throw right first, and then you had to get your move away from the tackle right. And so it took a little more coordination than we were able to build up in our little few games before.
I had no idea.
I actually enjoyed it. Other than that,
I had no idea if I was throwing the ball half the time. I just noticed that I kept on getting sacked constantly.
See, I kept throwing the ball too short. I think I kept throwing it like right into the ground.
Like in the ground, right? Yeah. Luckily, you figured out how to, you know, throw. I think around the same time, I just started copying you, and, you know, it worked out. Worst part was I kept on talking trash at the game, and it just kept on tackling me more and more. I would not recommend talking trash to a game if you suck at said game.
But the Kinect is so neat because it reacts to both body motions and verbal commands.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, they obviously couldn't have that as an example, really, in E3.
Can you imagine? With all the noise, I was like, I didn't remember that.
That wasn't a function that they were showing there,
yes.
But yeah, that's another thing, way it reacts.
Well, that's like the whole Nigel thing I was talking about last year, that creepy little British child.
But actually, why don't we go into our first break?
Nice.
And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Kinect.
I want to talk about Marvel's Capcom 3!
We got some 3DS coming up. So,
and also just a whole slew of 3D games coming out for like the PlayStation 3.
Yeah. So stick around.
In a world of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. And this week, E3.
Yes.
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. If you go to our website at geekworldradio.com, we've got some awesome photos from E3. We actually got them up on time. They're like, when I'm telling you this now, they are actually already up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this isn't one of those where I go in, they'll probably be up. Maybe by the time this plays, you know, they're up. We've had them up now for a few days.
There might be a video by the time this plays, but there's definitely already pictures.
I'm gonna say I doubt it on the video.
You never know.
For like two more days, but maybe by next week.
I have to say too, I'm like a photo freaking journalist now. Did you know that?
Okay.
And it's not just because I took awesome E3 pictures. Which, by the way, Anime, you also took some very good E3 photos.
Was that my name?
Anyway, what's most important is me saying I'm a photojournalist because we took some pictures of the pre-riot Game 7 Lakers game outside with all the police and all the people. So I'm like a photojournalist now.
Yeah, that's actually just up on the regular page of Geek World. We don't actually have the photo page up for that yet.
No.
But I think we're going to put that up.
Yeah.
That actually might be up. That actually will be up by the time this airs.
I also have to thank Steven Seagal for saying police. So now I can say police. Yeah. I used to be Popo when we were kids, you know, but that's not cool. You can't really call
it. Like the fuzz.
The fuzz,
we were born or
and then it would be like Raquel Welch was in that movie, and then it became the Hot Fuzz. But really, I think
I still refer to them as Bobbies.
5-0 was big too. Bobbies,
awesome.
Bobbies. Yeah.
Yes, I like pretend I'm British and like, you know,
Bobbies,
from the like 1950s or something.
Totally, or like more like the 1890s or something.
No, I'm pretty sure they were
still
Bobbies.
Yeah,
and like I think up to a few decades.
What are they called now? Like Torchwood or something? I have no clue.
Like
exactly. Yeah,
I mean, they're called the police or cops or something.
The police is what they're called. Steven Seagal came over and called them the police. Well, it's funny because, you know, when I was a kid watching, like, gangster movies, like Menace to Society, you know, they called him 5-0 back then, too. Because of, like, Hawaii 5-0. But apparently now I just say
Blue,
the police. Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Bad Boys is gone for a while, you know. What you gonna do?
When they come for you?
Yes, I have no clue. Anyway, I didn't know what we were talking about. How do we get down to this?
Cops.
Oh, yeah, because the L.A.
The riots. Yeah.
So luckily we got out of there on Friday before they started blowing up cars.
To thank our lost correspondent,
yes.
Brian,
yes.
For letting us know, because we are complete geeks. We don't know anything about sports.
Yeah.
We are total geeks. Games,
yeah. I got to say, we're total geeks. And that, you're right. That is the evidence. Like, he told us, I talked to him on Thursday, the night before the game. And he's like, so you guys are going to be in downtown tomorrow? We're like, yeah. He's like, you guys are screwed.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. And it was funny because
he's like, basketball, like, what? What is it? Like a game or something?
Yeah, we had no idea. Like, he's like, I think you two are the only people in LA who don't realize it's game 7 of the NBA Finals tonight. I'm like, I would have to say you're correct.
Is game 7 the last?
Yeah. How many more are there? Jeez, a lot of games. Yeah, but I gotta say, we did something very, very, I guess you'd have to say, like, normal. We actually watched the last 5 minutes of the game. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we totally did. Well, you know, it's we had to, I think we were more watching to find out, you know, what kind of rioting would happen where we had just left.
We watched sports. We watch the Super Bowl every year. We watched 5 minutes of that one NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
We watch Wipeout.
Oh, we watch the Olympics.
We watch the Olympics.
That's every four years.
Yes.
Or actually every 2 years.
Every 2 years, yes. And we also watch Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
So there you go. That's
sports
right there.
We watched Ultimate Banzuki.
Oh, we have the coolest new show. I didn't even know it's a sports show.
It's totally a sports show.
Top Shot?
Yeah, if shooting is part of the Olympics, then it's a sports show.
It's like the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's like every character is like one of the bad guys from Trigun.
Except for, like, the kid.
Yeah.
He's like...
He is Vash the Stampede.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I gotta say...
But that is an awesome show, and I can't wait until they do have, like, Bone Arrow and stuff.
Yeah.
The first episode where the kid, like, proves himself and, like totally proves himself.
And
like, doesn't just, like, go, like, yeah, look, I did it. It was like, I did it and I destroyed you.
And he destroyed the dude, so it was okay for him to go, you're pwned, though he didn't.
Yeah, and the thing was, like this kid, like,
Sniper
everyone
challenge.
Everyone was totally out to get him because he's, like, he's this kid that doesn't know anything. This kid, like, had come in and given them all advice that helped them.
He was the Wesley Crusher of Top Shot.
Oh my god, he totally was.
Yeah, he totally showed the adults that I could compete on the same level as you.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Mr. Will Wheaton, who we got to see speak at the Phoenix Comic Con.
Well, we watched him speak and then he watched you play.
Yes, exactly. He watched me play Tron Evolution.
And then he went over and played it for himself, and then we got some video of him playing just because, you know, creepy like that sometimes.
Well, we're stalking him, you know. And he's just...
Yeah, where's he going to be next?
I have no idea. Let's figure it out.
Where does he live?
I have him lowjacked. I'll just type into my iPhone, Will Wheaton Tracker. We totally saw him at the Tron, which, by the way, you have to check out our pictures. The Tron booth. Sorry. I get so excited because it was great.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Looking
in there.
Amazing.
Like,
Disney, you know, of course it's Disney and their setup is always going to be awesome, but they really went all out. I mean, they had the light bike, they had helmets and they had these like specific like Xbox and Wii controllers that were Tron, and then they had this entire Tron setup like where it had the big words Tron and the lighting up and the lights on the bottom and the gaming and the
It was unbelievable. It was like one of the coolest looking things, and we got to go. Do you just want to talk about Tron real quick, playing Tron, or do you want to talk about something else?
You know, I was actually going to go back to the Kinect and talk a little bit more about just girl, you know, female gaming.
Oh, duh. Yeah, and you know, we still have a bunch of the Kinect to talk about, but we'll get back to Tron, which, by the way, not a bad video game adaptation of a game.
We have a lot. We have a lot to talk about that because we were talking to one of the main designers from it.
Yes,
he was actually the guy that was like helping you out.
Yeah,
when you were playing.
The other really cool thing about E3 is, you know, they're not just guys, you know, who work at Kmart who they hire to be on here. It's like the real people who work on the real games are there because, like you said, this isn't something you can just get tickets for. It's for professionals.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I am a professional.
Some of the booth babes are just booth babes.
Yes,
but. Some of them actually really knew what they would like really brush them up on the specifics of the system.
I have to say, one of these days I'm going to get in trouble because every time after one of these events, I'm so used to seeing like really attractive girls in costume and going, "Can I take your picture?" And then every time we leave, I always end up like in the parking lot of like Ralph's and being like, "Oh, I'm going to go ask her if I could take her picture." No, it's not okay once you leave the convention area. So
nope.
Yeah. So
that's why you just need those like secret surveillance glasses so you can just snap pictures of people when they're not looking.
Yeah, but that's just so wrong, right? I did that in college.
Oh, please. That's
I totally did that in college.
That's like what you do with the camera anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm an artist. I appreciate beauty in all forms.
Uh-huh.
That's the excuse I always use.
Uh-huh.
I think it's worked so far. So I don't know. Yeah.
Anyways, so let's go back to the Kinect for a little while before we go back to Tron and get to the 3DS.
Epic Mickey!
Yeah. So one of the things about the Kinect that's really awesome is the fact that there is no controller. One of the problems that I have always had with Xbox is I can't find an Xbox controller that doesn't actually hurt my hands.
Or hurt your little girl hands.
Yeah, well, you know.
Say it like that.
When we got Marvel vs. Capcom, was it Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Yes. Gonna take you for a ride.
I loved the game, but I could only play for a really limited amount of time because then my hands would just ache.
Who's your favorite character in that game, by the way?
Oh, gosh, you know, it's really tough. I liked,
I'll tell you my favorite character. Omega Red.
Omega Red, yes.
Yeah, from X-Men, yeah. The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Yeah, he had those things that would come up from the ground and little
He was another
things.
He was a Cold War villain, you know.
Yeah, well.
And you know what my favorite was BB Hood.
BB Hood was pretty cool.
With our dudes with the big belt buckles and Dutch hats
I used to usually do a team of BB Hood, Omega Red and War Machine.
Yeah,
that was my team.
Yeah, I used to be a BB Hood, Iron Man, and I think Iceman or Cyclops. It was all projectiles all the time.
You also liked sometimes doing Wolverine.
Wolverine is pretty cool, yeah, because he had all that berserker attack action going on. But yeah,
in this one though, in the new one in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, it's all about the Hulk.
I can't
Hulk
even
is amazing.
I gotta say I am dying to own that game.
Yeah. So the Kinect, we are so lame. We don't have an Xbox 360.
Yes.
This is the other thing.
This is something E3 that makes us officially lame.
That we absolutely needed to get.
Yes,
I
agree.
We're only
I made a list.
You know what, Dave?
But
we are only lame to the point that we're poor.
We're very poor, and that's part of the problem. Yeah, is that we had a choice
Anyone
between
who
a PlayStation.
Wants to pay us for this radio?
Yeah, exactly.
We like
PlayStation because we picked the PlayStation because we like Ratchet and Clank, and we wanted a Blu-ray player. And
the Blu-ray player was really the big part of it because it was we needed a Blu-ray player so we could either get one that also plays games that we like.
Yeah,
you know, and
the graphics are better than Xbox. Whatever anyone wants to say, they're far better.
They are actually, they are far superior.
Now the Xbox, is superior when it comes to online play, and they also have some really fantastic games that only they have.
And the Kinect, oh my gosh! When we talk about the PlayStation Move,
yes.
Yeah.
We're going to start making money on the show right now, though, because I need a Kinect.
I know.
Come November, we better get an Xbox 360 with a Kinect. There's no way it's not going to happen because it's amazing. And you're right. The Kinect, I think, is sealing the deal.
Yeah.
Because it is freaking outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, really the only reason that we don't have an Xbox 360 is because I can't play it. I can't play it.
Yes.
So there wasn't really a point to us getting a whole bunch of games that I absolutely can't play. We can just get a whole bunch of games I won't play on the PS3, you know?
Yeah. But luckily, I think, maybe we can get a little dainty girl controller for it because I think we both want to play Dead Rising a lot. Got to play a little Dead Rising 2 and boy,
that
howdy.
That looks so much fun.
I mean, I just I obviously knew about Dead Rising for a long time, but you don't really get that whole real feel of how Romero the whole thing is until you play it.
Yeah.
All the slow zombies, all the games of zombies. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's funny. When we were watching Zombieland last
night,
we kept saying this would make an incredibly fun game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they didn't really need to make a game of it because every other zombie game, covers that.
Yeah.
But Dead Rising 2 covers it better.
You know,
it kind of gives you that feeling of I'm living in zombie land.
Yeah, totally. I mean, obviously it's Dead Rising 2. The first one took place in a mall, just like Dawn of the Dead. And this one looked like it was all over the streets and everything like that. And, oh man, just using the drill like that game. I mean,
you could pick up anything around you and smash zombies with it.
And I know for any of you guys who have played the first game, this is not new news to you, but it is to us. So we're going to talk about cool
news.
Nude news. You know, they had something like that in quite a few places.
It's called the Naked News.
Yes, good call. And I think that, you know, we found that if you put nude instead of naked in front of something, it's much classier.
Yes, yes.
We were talking about that the other day.
Nude is classy.
Yes,
Naked, it's not, you know, it's not raunchy, but it's, you know, it's less classy than nude.
Yeah, exactly. We saw these two magazines the other day, and one said, you know, Naked Housewives. The other one said Nude Housewives. And we're like, you know what's more classy?
Nude.
This one, the wife will appreciate. This one, not so much.
Yeah.
It's clearly.
It's all the one word.
Clearly, yes. It's amazing. You know, it's syntax is a big part of, you know, language. Anyway, but what were we talking about? We're talking about the Kinect.
Apparently, we're talking about nude people.
We're talking about nude people playing the Kinect, which
you could.
I don't even know what would happen in that case. I mean, you might even be better being nude
because then it could totally get those points on your body and, like, not, like, mess it up with shirt, you know?
Yeah. Though, I gotta say, those screenshots would be pretty impressive. That's
oh, my God.
Too.
You know, I didn't even think
oh,
about
you're
this.
Right. Oh,
oh
there's going to be Kinect porn,
oh.
isn't there?
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think. That kind of just came out of nowhere, huh?
Yeah.
Eek.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Because it's going to take pictures of whatever you're doing,
you know,
I'm assuming.
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh. There's
my
a thing.
My advice to Xbox.
There'll be a lot of things involved.
My advice to Xbox.
A lot of horrible things you're going to need to see.
Is to set something up where, you know, you could have one of those, like, you know, a black box.
Yeah.
That if they don't seem to be wearing shorts,
so if
that the black box comes on over their waist area.
I thought you meant like, you know, just in case the whole thing crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like in a plane.
I mean like on TV, like when they're walking out, you know.
You mean like Dragon Ball episodes when, you know, Goku's covered by a little black
box of pixelation.
Like a rectangle. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, the black box thing, when you say that, it seems like a plane. I know exactly what you're saying, because or if nothing else, we employ as many hot chicks as possible to get the Kinect.
Yeah.
If you're going to do all the naked stuff. Because,
hey, you know that chick that won the first America's Next Top Model, she plays World of Warcraft all the time.
Yeah, she does. Yes, yes. And I don't say ew because I was thinking about, you know.
You weren't saying ew to her because she's awesome.
No, but, you know, there's a big difference between the booth babes at E3 and, you know, most of the people who might be playing the Kinect. I don't know.
Well, you know.
Actually, it's not true, because the Kinect, you're very physical with.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would have to say maybe not such a bad thing. I don't know. You tell me. I'm scared at the whole prospect of things.
It just
kind of came out. I'm not prepared for this conversation.
Yeah. You know, I think it could be terrifying.
Yes.
Or, you know, what happens if you put on, like, bunny ears or something, like, wacky on your head?
I don't know. That's a good
point.
Can
you, like, freak it out with antennas?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they like, have a setup just in case people have, like, huge afros or something. So maybe it's just, you know, a part of your head. Maybe they just give you more hair.
Ooh.
Think about it. I have no
what
clue,
if you have
really.
Things in your afro?
I know that.
What if your coffee and you've got your guns in there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know, you know, the way the infrared camera works and the way it does it points, it doesn't matter how large you are. It just gets your skeletal structure. So, you know, I don't think the bunny ears will matter all that much.
Okay.
You never know, though.
Yeah,
you never know. Anyway, do you want to play just about...
I want to play.
You want to play?
Play now.
You want to play Naked Kinect?
Let's sit here and press buttons while we're on the radio.
Yes.
That was me tapping
was
the
really
table
because
I don't have buttons.
Do you think they're going to do like a...
No. What?
What's the thing called with the spin in the red hand or hand on red?
Twister?
Are they going to have a Kinect Twister, you think?
No.
No, probably not.
Why?
I don't know. Because Men in Black 2 was on TV the other day and I thought a Twister. I don't know.
I think, to be perfectly honest.
I think
regular Twister because you need the spots on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. You don't put your hand up. Okay.
Listen, if we could invent anti-gravity units so we could all just, you know, not have our heads or feet anywhere near the ground, then maybe that'll work.
You hear that, Xbox Dave? Yeah. To try and come up with
come
a
on,
Twister.
Zero gravity.
Let's see if you can do that.
Let's put the Kinect in those jets that, you know, go way up and then nosedive down. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be a cool display of the Kinect. X power, actually. Microsoft, we implore you to get a jet.
Weightlessness.
Yes.
Weightlessness,
and do zero
Xbox.
Gravity.
That's where it's really at. This capturing your motion thing, that's BS.
Yeah, that's old guard, man. Yeah, can you create anti-gravity?
The Wii and PS3 are going to catch up to you on that. Anti-gravity.
Come on, man.
That's where it's at.
That's exactly where it's at.
Man.
So let's talk about actually being in the Kinect booth. From the actual Kinect? Or do you want to get to that later? Did you just want to generally talk about the Kinect, or do you want to actually get all into the Kinect, all up in the Kinect?
You know what? Let's hold off on that. Let's actually get to a little bit more of the Kinect later. Let's move on.
Yes, let's do it. Let's move on. In that case, I want to talk about Marvel vs. Capcom or Tron.
Let's start with Tron.
Tron Evolution.
We got a little start on that, which, by the way,
yes,
super excited for the movie.
Yeah,
Let's first just talk about, you know, the movie is coming out. Yeah. It's one of those movies that was shot for 3D. It was specifically shot with a 3D camera.
Yes.
This is not one of those conversions.
No.
It's got Fusion, Olivia Wilde in 3D, man.
That picture of her sitting there, every time I see it, I'm just like, you know, I gotta say, it makes sense, though, because she is on the hot side of not human looking.
Yeah.
Like, she is almost like, it's almost like
she was created.
Insulting to the rest of humanity that she has that face.
Yeah.
Because she is
and
just
that body. It's
unbelievable.
Not just the face. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, she was, you know, she was created in a lab.
Yeah.
I don't think that parents actually exist. There are these two people that, like, pretend that they were her parents, but they were actually, like, you know, she's like, you know, the successful Dren.
You know? actually, the Resident Evil movies are actually based on her life.
She's Alice.
Yeah, she's Alice. They just created her so she would be hot and awesome. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I also think that, you know, between doing such good work on House, I think she's going to blow up after Tron. I think she's going to be, like, really big.
I 100% agree. The other thing is that for the game, she's also, her character is in the game, and she did the voices for it.
Yes.
This game,
and I think the guy was a little sad that he wasn't there the day that
they did.
I know. I had to ask that. I was like, so you know.
But yeah, she. So she's in the game. She's in the movie, obviously.
Do you know, every time I did ADR for people when I was working at a production house, it was never a hot chick. It was always a dude.
When you were recording?
Yeah, when I was recording ADR for people.
You were saying when I did ADR.
Yeah.
I was like, why would you do the ADR for
Though, there was a time when I had to instruct someone how to do ADR in Cantonese.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Or was it Mandarin? I'm sorry. No, it was Cantonese, and I had no clue what was going on.
Well, even if it was Mandarin, you still wouldn't have any
idea. Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait a second. No, it's Mandarin. I was fine.
Yeah, but it was Cantonese.
Never mind. My bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just kind of off on tangents right now.
Back to
E3. Back to the stuff people actually want to hear.
So the really cool thing about this game is it takes place between the old movie and the new movie.
Yes.
So it takes place, actually, the year is 1989. Wow, that was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, stellar. So it was 1989. It's 1989.
You're trapped in the video game.
And they have some stuff from the old movie that's not in the new movie.
Yes.
Some stuff from the new movie that's not in the old movie. Because they were actually allowed to go, and they did set visits and stuff, so they get a feel for the layout, a feel for the characters and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But also the people that made the game, they were allowed a lot of creativity on their own. They were allowed to put in their own flourishes and their own stuff, because the thing is that having it take place between the two means that things have evolved since then. So the things that they get to add in, they don't have to be in the new.
You know, I thought they all did a really good job in incorporating, you know, kind of their own style and look. I think the only thing that was a little extreme was the life-size Olivia Wilde controller.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a little much.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm gonna get one.
You would never.
But, you know,
if that existed, you would never call it too much.
That's
you would be talking right now
that's
about
true.
How you wouldn't
yeah.
let go of it.
That's true. And then
I would go, Dave, that was actually her.
I can imagine the analog thumbsticks, and that's just
the Olivia,
all I'm talking about.
Yeah. The Olivia Cochburn statue.
Yes. Yes.
Olivia Wilde,
Olivia
I know.
Wyatt.
That's what she changed her name to.
Yes,
but, you
yes.
know, it's
probably,
still fun to say her real name.
I got to say, a good call on her part, to be perfectly honest. You know,
well,
it's
you
just,
get too wild, you make your Cochburn.
Well, you know, you just say, okay, I don't, one, that might have been obscene, and two,
it was not because
could you imagine
name.
Seeing her picture and then just splash across the page, Cochburn? I think Wilde is probably a better choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I gotta say, going into actually serious now, you're right. The game takes place in 1989. That's why it's called Tron Evolution and not Tron Legacy. And you basically, you know, you get to do the stuff that you do in Tron. You get to have the gladiatorial battles with your cool disc, you know, disc weapon, which was really cool because you get to charge it up and do all kinds of different mm-hmm. attacks.
And you can do it while you're on the light bike, too.
Yes,
really
yes.
cool.
And also, you know, you can jump, like, across levels by doing this kind of boost. And also you can, like, run on walls. So it's, like, really cool, you know?
One of the things that we didn't get to see because it's kind of under lock and key. They didn't have it at E3, but the game will also be in 3D.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Which is a very good idea.
Yeah, I mean, major tie-in to the movie. Yeah. And, it's...
I have to say, you know, I think I honestly think, though, the game shined the light bike stuff. I thought that the light cycle stuff, it just looked unbelievable. The gameplay was fun.
You know what's really funny?
What?
I don't know if you were complaining about, like, the ledges or whatever, not falling off.
I was.
Yeah, you were complaining when you were on the light bike that you weren't falling off the edges, right?
Yeah.
The guy there was saying, though, that, like, they actually had to add these ledges in because when they were playing it, when they were testing it, none of them, the guys that made the game, could stay on the track. They were all, like, you know, sliding off it, and so they had to put on these little ledges at all, or at least most of the points, so that even they, the guys that made it, could get through.
Well, it's funny, because, you know, I always have, you know, I sometimes have that instant complainer mode go on, where, like, you know, for instance, when we play GoldenEye, which, you know, I can't wait to talk about, you know, the Wii is not an HD system.
No.
So there's only so much they can do with graphics, but I still whine about the graphics, even though there's no reason to.
You're a complete snob.
Yeah. Well,
that's the other reason why we never ended up getting an Xbox 360, because once you've got the PS3 graphics, like, you know... The Xbox just it doesn't compare.
Yes, though I would have to say when I played Castlevania on the Xbox, I have to say that the cutscenes on Xbox really don't hold a candle to PS3. However, the gameplay graphics are still quite good.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
I think, you know, they're very good at that. Which, you know, that's what the whole point is, isn't it? Is the gameplay. But back to Tron. You know,
it's all about the cutscenes.
Exactly.
Don't you know that?
Exactly.
Don't you know anything?
That's why I never played Final Fantasy, because, you know, I felt like Final Fantasy was always about the cutscenes.
Yeah,
it was like these gorgeous cutscenes. And then, you know, it's time for a fight. Push triangle.
Yeah.
Now wait. Okay, now push square. Okay, now wait. Anyway.
Well, it seems like they do have some Final Fantasy ones that aren't about that anymore.
Yeah.
They do have a few games out that now that are more like running and jumping around.
Yeah, please
stuff.
Let me know. If I'm like just a, you know, total, you know, moron
Send
about
email
this, let me know. Because honestly, like...
Tell us about your favorite Final Fantasy games and why they're so good, and what games are not just you go here and push a button.
I want them to remake... the Final Fantasy games, like, as actual, like,
Connect,
you know,
games?
No, as like third person action, you know, sort of like God of War or something like that, you know, because I'm really interested in the stories. I can't do the turn based RPG stuff. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, go back to Tron, though. The light cycle stuff was really, really sweet. One, it just looked great. But two, like you said, the whole barrier thing and not going off. Like I said, at first I was kind of like, oh, I can't go off. This makes it lame. But then I realized, like the guy said, I would have died all the time.
Yeah.
It's like there was a...
It wasn't the same thing as, like, bumpers on bowling.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It was like you're on a street and the street has curbs.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a few years ago, I don't remember what system it was for. I was playing a new Sonic game, though. It was years ago. And I just remember it was terrible because every 3 seconds I would fall off and, like, die. And I was like, this is the
I
most...
remember that.
Yeah. It was like Sonic Legends or one of those weird Sonic games. And I was just like, it was terrible because I died all the time. And so what they do to supplement that is, you know, stuff instead of you falling off, the track gets destroyed at certain times, and you have to find a pathway around it, or just take that leap of faith and hope that you connect to the track, or they got, you know, the ship shooting at you at the same time. So there are still ways to die, and don't worry, I epically died quite a few times.
And just at that booth in general, it's like I was saying before, the guy that was helping us out with the controls, he was actually one of the main designers on the game,
and so
they really had people there that were incredibly knowledgeable about the system, about the game, about, you know, he was able to answer every question that I had, even if it was, we don't really, you know, that's not completed yet, or that's not finished yet, or, you know, it seems like it's going to be pretty much like an ideal tie-in to the Tron series, you know what I mean?
You know,
it's not going to be, it's not a direct tie-in to Tron Legacy, and it's not a direct tie-in to the old Tron game. It takes place in the time between, which makes it, like I said, a kind of perfect companion to the Tron series.
Yeah, you know, I think this one's going to be surprising for some people, because I thought it was a pretty decent, at least what I played, adaptation. You know, most movie adaptations of games aren't good because there's never any time involved, and they just want to get something out to make money off it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't think it'll exactly blow your mind. I mean, there's a lot of games that we definitely enjoyed more, but I thought as a tie-in, it was pretty decent.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing about it. As a game on its own, it's not particularly, like, super special, per se, although I love that look. I love the Tron look with the blue lights and it's just really cool looking. But as a game on its own, it's just kind of a normal game. But as a tie-in, it really felt Tron-y.
Oh, you know? Totally. And just that display was unbelievable.
And you know what else is exciting?
What?
Tron might be in our mailbox when we get home.
Oh, exciting. I love Netflix. Yeah, I got to say, speaking of Netflix, maybe we should talk about the other movie tie-in that we've been watching the cartoon for that we played.
Yeah, well, we are going to actually take a break, but do you have anything else you wanted to say about Tron first?
No, I think it might surprise a lot of people. I think it might be better than people are expecting.
Ah, yes, I agree. Well, we will be back with more E3 in just a moment.